My name is Tammy Fowler, and we are at Trophy Antiques and Hair
at Five Corners.
How do you actually? Yeah, before tell me about the intersection you're at, the neighborhood you're at, just sort of place for people who aren't maybe familiar with Charleston. Okay. Talk about where you are in the city.
Okay, we are on the west side, and we are at a place called Five Corners, five different directions, and we have all these nice little businesses here, so people are beginning to know where Five Corners is, but it is the west side of Charleston.
How in the world do you describe this place to people who've never seen it?
Okay. We've done this now for about 20 years here on the west side. We had other shops, but this one grew because we do estate sales for our customers. And as they pass on or they go to Edgewood Summit, they call us and give us their estate. So we buy things when we go there, and we've acquired things from people who want to sell one item or a whole estate, and it just grew and grew and grew. So this year, it's going to be the biggest Christmas we've ever done.
Paint a picture with words about what we're looking at in here.
Okay, what you're looking at is many one-of-a-kind items. I do, if someone has a whole estate and they have paintings or they have sterling or they have whatever they want to sell at a fairly decent, good price, we have our own contacts and they come to us to do their estates. The oddest thing I've sold has been an airplane. And I found it in an old barn. And we've done many, many things that are different when we do estates. But the airplane probably was my biggest challenge. I wanted to see if I could sell an airplane. And sure enough, I sold it to a gentleman in Ohio. So the shop grew and grew. And I had my mother with me until she was 95. And she would always say, "You don't need that, but that sure is a pretty piece." And, you know, I'd end up with it. So, and then my Bob, my partner, he does woodworking and he does different things. So the customers are all the time asking him to make something or to repair something. So we're jack of all trades, mainly.
We're in this space, two big rooms that are floor to ceiling with antique wooden hutches and display cases. You have these sort of crystal lamps, all kinds of glass finery. Let me have you just sort of tour me around and just maybe we can just point at some things just to give listeners a sense of the variety of things that are in here. Yeah,
we'll do that. All right, in this direction right here. This is like...
Hold on, I'll let the phone stop ringing there. Okay. Oh. Did you need to get it? You need to get the phone?
No, he'll get it.
Okay.
Let me just wait.
It'll quit in a second.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, our showcases house all the very, very best things that are rare. And this was a copy of what President Kennedy got as a gift. And this is a copy of that. A gentleman in Logan had acquired this, and of course I bought the estate. So this is a rare piece.
That's like a porcelain dove.
Yeah, it's a porcelain dove, and it has all the information on it. Almost everything we have has all the history behind it. And then what I really, really appreciate, we had an artist. She just was deceased last year, but she worked for the Greenbrier, and she hand-painted.
Hold on one sec. Okay. Your popular spot. They're ringing your phone off the hook here.
It just rings for all those health care things.
Okay.
She painted for the Greenbrier and Tamarack and also the White House. Her things are on display this year. Normally, I was never going to sell any of them, but we have quite a few, and I'm going to show those this year. And they're one of a kind. She signed everything. Her name was Teresa Currens, and, I mean, her things are out of this world. For instance, that's a banner. This is a piece that goes over a door. Her things are very, very unique, and I'm going to show probably 30 items of her work. And then we have people who bring things that they're back to their grandmother's time, that they woodworking things, homemade lamps, just gorgeous, gorgeous things, and probably the largest pipe collection I've ever seen, rare. So I have those.
You have these hand-painted dishes, these chandeliers, all this fine glassware, and it all has got this real patina of history on it. I mean, it's like walking through a museum to be in here.
It's kind of a museum, and I don't brag about what we have here to people, but we have one of a kind, and I don't do any junk corners. There, you'll find no junk in our shop as far. A lot of people like junk, and it's okay. My mother told me that's how you make good money when I started out, buying little things that don't cost a lot of money. And our things are nice. They're not overpriced because we have this shop every day, and the reason I can stay in business is I have my hair business on top of this, so we're always doing something for someone. That's how it works.
I notice you have a lot of items like Fiesta ware and maybe Blanco glass and other glassware that's from West Virginia. Could you talk about some of the items that are from West Virginia?
One of our customers, Bob gave him a haircut. His name was Steve Bear. He died last year, and he was one of West Virginia's largest collectors of Blanco. One-of-a-kind items, series of things that's hard to find, and I probably have 50 or 60 pieces of his left. I've done some sales out of them, but he probably, if you're looking for Blanco, this would be the place to come for a rare piece.
What is, for someone who's never heard of that before, what is Blanco?
Blanco is made in Milton, and everyone goes there. When anyone comes to a show that I do, they come from California, they come from all over just to collect rare pieces of Blanco. Everyday Blanco, it's nice, and we love it to put in our window for a show. But if you want the rare, one-of-a-kind items, Steve collected those. And he started when he was 14 years old, so I have his big collection. So it would be a good time for someone to buy a piece that they've never seen.
Can you show me an example of what you're talking about?
I sure can. I got the whole window over here if you want to come back in this room.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And then Fiesta, I mean, a lot of people can buy Fiesta any place, but Blanco you can buy, but you can't buy the rare pieces. For instance, these two pieces are rare. They only made the first of, in 2003, these were made, and they're rare, and they were 10 of 16 made. They look like the Texas,
cactuses.
Right. So those two are really good.
Gotcha.
Then the birthday pieces, the rarest piece that everyone wants is 80 and 81. We have about 8 birthday pieces, but we've sold the 80s and the 81s. But we do have the West Virginia birthday pieces. And that whole unit up there is all Blanco. Everything's standing up on that shelf up there.
All right, let's go back. I'm going to go back to the quiet area here with
okay.
you. Let's. Here's what I'm going to do. It'll be sort of a lightning round kind of challenge thing here. I'm going to just point. Maybe we'll go to about a dozen different things. I'm going to point at the thing. You just sort of paint a picture with words of what it is in a sentence or two. Yeah, or
right,
maybe
here's
just
a rare piece right there.
Go ahead.
That's called a banquet lamp, and it's probably 2 to 3 feet tall. They're rare. They're hard to find, and that one came from a $1 million house that we did a sale for, and she didn't want to take it with her. And then there's one up front. Humphrey's Dairy Bar was one of the most unique restaurants in Charleston, and there's one right behind there that's from her estate. They're hard to find, but we have probably 8 of these big, tall lamps. They're called banquet lamps.
They've got these sort of chandelier-type things on them.
But it's the height that makes it the banquet lamp. Usually you see them in bay windows. Okay?
You've got a lot of rose-colored pink glassware over here.
This is all made by Fenton. These are your rare pieces. I even have the two big lamps, and they're called Hobnail Fenton, and they're in the rare color of red and pink. So we have lots of Fenton, and it's still, it's still being made, but it's not being made by our people.
You have some really nice hand-painted porcelain stuff back there.
Yeah, those are rare pieces. They're called transferware, and you hardly ever see it in the real pretty red, and it comes in blue, and it comes in brown, and we have a set of all of those. So that's a nice, nice color.
You have some ceramic figurines back here?
Mm-hmm. Those are all made in probably Germany and... Most of those are all signed, and they're just unique pieces, one of a kind. And then you probably, these figures up here are all porcelain, and they're enormous figures for what they are. They're good. Let's see.
You have It looks like you collect a lot of really antique frames and pictures. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Antique frames, if you have an old picture, say, from the 1800s, would you want it in a modern straight frame? No. So these frames are all very unique, and there's one in the window. It's a mirror, and I went to an auction, and I paid a lot of money for it, but it has a big angel on it and was made in the 1800s. So it's right up there in that window if you want to see it.
So many elaborate vases that are painted in all kinds of...
Yes, a gentleman came in Monday and laid it away. It's a unique nude. They're called nudes, and they're hard to find. And he laid that one away. He said, I've never came on this side of your shop. And I said, see what you missed? But anyway, that's a nice piece there. Perfumers. We do a lot of military things. I do someone who has passed away and their family doesn't want their military medals. We love those. We do those. We try to stay within what we think history has to offer people. And sometimes you don't know it till you walk in and see it in a frame.
Let me ask you, have you had like that sort of antiques roadshow moment where you realized you had like a super duper hot item?
We've had it several times, especially in attics. You'll be doing an estate, you'll dig in an attic, and there's something you've never, ever seen before. So, yeah, it's good. I probably have had 5 or 6 estates that I thought no one could touch these estates. One was for Mrs. Painter, who owned all the Kentucky Fried Chickens. She lived in a farmhouse in the 1800s. Her things were, I can't tell you how good they were. They were wonderful.
It must be an interesting experience to go into someone's estate after they've passed away and be the person who sorts through and evaluates and appraises these items. I mean, it's got to be exciting. It's also got to be kind of humbling, maybe a little haunting. I don't know. What's it like to walk into someone's place like that?
It's now that I've done it for a long, long time, it's still the thrill of what you're going to see there. And when someone calls me, I don't care how small the estate is or how much money I think we would make there, I never turn them down. I go look. I advise them and tell them, you've got this, you've got wonderful things here, or you're not going to have as much as you think. But there's never been an estate we've done that wasn't a good estate, as far as I'm concerned.
Take me back to maybe your childhood or however early it was when you first kind of fell in love with antiques, how that was. I think maybe it was did you go shopping with your mom?
I did. We lived on a farm in Mason County, and we had a farmhouse, a cellar, a barn, and everything there was old. And on Saturday mornings, we'd take our cream to Ripley to sell it. And every Saturday, my mom had to stop along the highway and look at old, big, I thought they were ugly things, but they were plant stands, and they were made out of oak, and I think I still have every one she ever bought. And I just began to think, oh, that does look pretty good. And then she would go with me. She lived to be 95, and we would go out scouting around, and she'd say, you like that? I said, what do you think of it? And she said, I think you better buy it. So that's how it happened. And once you get the bug or you begin to like old things, you're not going to buy new. I never buy anything new for my home unless it's an appliance.
Give listeners a sense of just how expansive your inventory is. Like, how many pieces do you think are in this building right now?
We have 5,000 square feet, and no one has, and a lot of people come in, they say, how do you get around in here? Well, if you're careful, you can get around in my shop, but I am not going to ever not have it full. A lot of people say, if I was you, I'd move some of this stuff out. If you want to look at my shop, you're going to come and look at it crowded. There's hundreds and hundreds of pieces here.
We've been talking a lot about antiques. The antiques and estate sales are only half of your business life. Talk about what else goes on in here.
I've had my ladies for 40 to 50 years, and I had the first lady I ever did in beauty school. She died several years ago, and I always told her, I said, when something happens, that's the end of what I do with hair. But you cannot give your customers up. If you've done them 40 years, they're your people. So right now, I'm on the verge of saying I've had enough, but when my customers come in the door, they come first, regardless. I'm here at 8 o'clock every morning.
When you first walk in this place, you almost don't notice that there's a beauty salon in the corner behind this giant mountain of antiques.
You're right.
But there it is. And it looks like you've got some, I mean, some of those hair dryers and stuff, they're kind of antiques in themselves.
The ladies love them because they get super hot and they can get in and out in 30 minutes. A lot of people blow hair dry. My ladies, if you tried to blow their hair dry, they'd tell you, you better find that curling iron again because we're not blowing my hair. So we set hair.
Your customers are they lean toward, they've been around for a while.
They've been around, and when they want their hair to stay, if you blow hair dry, the next morning you have no hairstyle. That my ladies wear a style. It may be something nowadays that people think isn't pretty, but I've always told them this. If you go someplace and no one ever comments and gives you a compliment, then you need another hairdresser. So they've stuck with me all these years.
May I compliment you on your hair? You have beautiful, very voluminous hair.
Hair.
What's your secret?
I have a little bit of natural curl in my hair. I frost it, and it's just good hair. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I never come to work with my hair wet, and I never come to work with my hair straight. I think you should see what the customer wants you to look like, so that's what I do.
You seem to be, these haircuts are a little bit vintage, too, like the antiques. It seems like they're from an era where, you know, sculptural hair and styled hair and big hair was kind of the goal.
Right. Well, people nowadays wear real straight hair. My ladies are in their 70s and up to 90. Now, would an older lady look good with straight, long hair? No, they would not. Hair looks good, pulled up, pulled back a little bit, and have a flare to it. So as long as I'm here, that's what you're going to see from me.
So many fascinating directions I want to take this conversation in. Do you want to join the conversation? Emily here has probably got smarter questions than me.
Well, I wanted to go back to the collecting and antiques.
Okay.
But you must collect things in your own home. So what do you collect?
I collect all Victorian. I love Victorian. I'm not a primitive person because I grew up in the country and we had primitive things. I love old cupboards and I love things that are back in the 1800s. But when it comes to my flair, it has to have something shiny. It has to have prisms. It has to be elaborate. That's what I like. And we're all into that. We may like something better. And then we still like other things because I sell other things. So I have to have a history of selling, you know, primitives also. So we have a variety.
So you kind of describe your hair and your antiques that you like the same way. Is there a connection between those things?
I think they go hand in hand. When I got out of beauty school, we had ones. We named the shop Trophy because we used to enter contests all over California, Chicago. And the first trophy I ever won was when I was in beauty school. And we weren't allowed to enter a contest. But I thought, I really think I'm good. So I entered this contest and won it. So that's how we got Trophy. My mom said, call your shop Trophy. And so when you learn from way back how to do hair and you learn your method to make it look nice, you're going to stick with it. You may change some, but you're going to stick with your base.
What was the contest?
It was a contest held in Huntington, and it was called a student contest. And if you thought you were really good, which back then I thought anything, I could do anything. And I used a professional model, and she set that hairstyle off, and we won first place.
So setting hair, what does that mean exactly?
That means that you put a setting lotion on it and you pin curl hair and you use rollers. And most people just blow it out, use a curling iron, tuck it under, and away you go. But my customers want their hair the same way when they come back to get it done.
And how long does that hairstyle usually last them?
It lasts 5 to 6 days. And it's there when they come back to me. So that's how that works.
Talk to me about...
Sure, I'll be right there.
Okay, we'll let you go in just a minute.
Okay.
Just tell me a little bit more about... we're concentrating all of our conversations mm-hmm. on the West Side
okay.
neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about this part of Charleston, sort of what's special about it, what's challenging about it, just sort of what makes this neighborhood unique.
Okay. I've worked all over Charleston. We had a shop on Courier Street. We had one up by the old United Gas and building. And we just, I mean, it's so busy. And our customers got older. They wanted to be able to get out of their cars and not get hit. They wanted to be able to have a parking lot. And right here on the west side, you have all those things. And then people sometimes say, well, you know, you have a lot of crime. There's crime all over the city. You just have to be careful. And we just find it more comfortable here. It's not so pushy and it's not so busy.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay, well, I'll get ready to wrap up with you, but let me, by way of a conclusion, mm-hmm. let me ask you if you think about your life as a story, like, what do you think the moral of your story is?
The moral of my story would come right back from my childhood, because my mom, the way she raised us, was to be honest and sell things and not tell someone a big story about them that wasn't true. And so far, I mean, it's been successful for me, as you can tell by the shop. So I go right back to how I was raised in the country.
It sounds like your mom would be very proud of you.
She did all my pictures that are in all the fancy frames. I have a ton of stuff in here that she did for me. And I mean, every day that I come to work, I see my mom here. So I'm happy. When I come here, I'm happy.
I can tell you must have had a really close relationship with her, huh? You loved her a lot?
That's why I like my older ladies. They just fit right in with what I do.
You have a beautiful soul and a great energy about you. You don't seem to be showing any signs of slowing down or wanting to stop. You've got a passion for this, I can tell.
We do 7 days a week, and I mean, we do hair from 8 till noon, and then we work on estates in the evenings. And then when we do the private sales, we have a lot of people that are wonderful buyers. We invite them. We make everyone feel like, hey, you come to this sale, you're going to have a nice something to see and something to buy. You make people feel special, they'll hang right with you.
Any words of wisdom you want to leave me with? I always think of everyone I meet as my teacher for the day.
Okay, my wisdom came from my mother, of course, I've told you that. But the reason these ladies are so good, I've learned from them. One lady, she lived to be 90, her name was Granny Benford, and one day she said to me, some of my friends invite me out for lunch, or they want me to go look at a movie or something, and she said, you know, when I hit 90, I figure my days are limited. So she said, don't you ever do things that you really don't want to do, because that's taking up your time and your life. So she said, do things that you want to do.
It sounds like it's the thrill of the surprise find that is almost like you're kind of addicted to it, aren't you?
Yeah, you get addicted, and you can't wait to, you ask them on the phone when they call you, what do I expect to see here? And sometimes they can tell you one item that makes you say, I'll be there in an hour or so. Is that okay? It's good.